right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. We've got Reds baseball coming up tonight, 7:30, as they are in Atlanta. Reds seven straight they have won and are on fire.
Hot.
And now they get to try to prove it against the first-place Atlanta Braves. That's coming up again at 7:30, not long after the show. Plenty to talk about tonight as the Pacers got their first and second round picks in the door and also made a move on a player and are waiting on a move on another player. We'll talk about that here in a little while. But first, the big news here in Bloomington, interestingly, usually involves football or basketball, but this time it involves baseball as Chris Lemonis is reportedly moving on from Indiana to take the job at Mississippi State, which was vacated early in the season, and they had an interim coach all year long. But Chris has done a great job here at Indiana in four or five seasons and appears to be moving on to Mississippi State. And Mississippi State is a big job, and the SEC is a big baseball conference.
It is, and it is official. They put something on their social media today that showed everybody that he is the next man in line for that job, and everybody wishes him the best. Indiana University put out a statement about 4:30 this afternoon. Indiana University Vice President and Director of Intercollegiate Athletics Fred Glass Monday expressed his deep appreciation to Chris Lemonis for his outstanding accomplishments during his tenure as the head coach of Indiana baseball and announced that a national search for Lemonis' successor has already begun. The quote from Fred: Chris Lemonis cemented Indiana's reputation as the premier baseball program in the Big Ten by guiding our program to three NCAA tournaments in 4 years. Chris cared deeply for his players, represented Indiana University with class and distinction, and is a good friend to so many of us here at IU and around the state. We wish him and his family the best at Mississippi State. He went on to say, Indiana University is committed to building upon our established excellence as a baseball program and have already begun a diligent and thorough process to find the next head coach. This is a great job with great facilities at a world-class university, and we will find a great leader for Indiana baseball. Yep, they will. Assistant coaches Kyle Bunn and Kyle Cheeseborough will remain in their roles until a successor is named and determines whether to retain them. Bunn will serve as the interim head coach, effective immediately. Senior AD Scott Jornstad will otherwise oversee the program until a new head coach is hired. The search will be led by Jornstad and begin immediately, including input from from current players among them. I don't know if that's a typo or just I was just assuming would say former and current, maybe not, but current players among others. Obviously, that's a deal in this day and age where you don't want to see a bunch of kids or recruits or anybody else hop up and get out the door because coach is leaving. But
right.
That's always part and parcel of it. But in 4 years, three tournament appearances, nothing wrong with any of that. And it's a job, Dave, as you mentioned, in the SEC. I guess you can probably argue that's one of the premier leagues. When you're talking about baseball nationally, maybe you throw the old Southwestern Conference in there, whatever they're called today.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Big Ten.
Big 12.
Well, I don't know if West Virginia and Kansas, and we're talking about their baseball
right.
programs the whole bit. But in the SEC, that league goes quite deep in the baseball world, where they have eight or nine teams make the tournament.
Well, what, Texas A&M
year.
Came over and
that didn't hurt
the
anything.
SEC, and they're really good also.
Missouri's not terrible, and that's a big boy league. And the other thing we have to remember is these jobs don't open every day. It's not like at the end of the year, guys sit back and say, okay, I'm having a nice run here. Let me go knock on SEC's door and see if there's anybody open.
Mm-hmm.
This job has been obviously open since the third game of Mississippi State season when their coach, I guess, I don't know if he resigned, quit, fired, whatever it was. It was three games in, then the old Kentucky coach, I believe Gary Henderson, was in charge, took him to College World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. So you know what kind of talent and what else goes on there, but it's a deal where if that door opens, I think you have to take a shot at it and step in. If that is your passion and your belief that you think you can manage on that level, I don't think it would be any different perhaps than maybe somebody at a mid-major college football program when the Notre Dame job opens
or when the
USC job opens.
Well, let's talk about
that
for a minute.
Maybe that's a little steep, but Mississippi State, go look up their records in the last decade.
Yeah.
Not the last 100 years,
no,
the last decade.
Let's talk about that for a minute because there is more prestige and stature down there. And I'm sure IU fans are wondering, well, didn't we start to develop prestige and stature here? And
yes.
I think there's an affirmative there. But it's still not the interest. It's not the recruiting ease, if you will, down there, you know, closer into the hotbed of it all. The competition that you go against every year, maybe the leaning towards you getting into the tournament more automatically than the Big Ten does. And there's got to be money involved in the whole thing, too.
The other thing that you nailed on the head was you don't have to struggle to fill a schedule annually.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to play you. Your conference schedule and conference
And you don't have to travel all over the West and South for 2 months doing it.
You don't have to go chase it, the point. You don't have
Indiana
to,
did.
You don't have to secure a series with San Diego 3 years ago and then hope they're good in 3 years, or your RPI is going to suffer and you could be on the wobble if things don't go your way in your conference. Mm-hmm. You're right. It gives you that kind of authenticity that says, well, you're in the SEC, you play 100 games in that league,
mm-hmm.
And you're playing teams right around there that are always annually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not easier in the sense, it's easier to schedule.
Well,
they
can have home games in February. I mean, again, Indiana's been having to go all over the country in February and March to play games to start their season off.
Port Charlotte.
Yeah, and they did well this year,
Hawaii,
but it's hard.
Can keep going and pointing out the people they've had to go and play. And they've also had to load their schedule up to some degree. Remember when they went to Arizona and had to play Oregon State, was number mm-hmm. 1-2 in the country? Why? Yeah. Well, because their Big Ten schedule, maybe back then it's gotten better. I'm not going to argue that at all.
Yeah.
Big Ten baseball's gotten a lot better. 4 teams in the tournament.
Right. No, it's great.
But you had to schedule and have to schedule that way in case you don't have a really good and you run into some injuries and you mm-hmm. run into some problems. You have to beat people and you have to schedule people. Is the money better? Yeah. Someone I think mentioned $750,000 somewhere in there to be Mississippi State's head baseball coach.
That's pretty good.
And that's, that is good. Everybody's got families. Everybody has concerns. But I do believe the coaches when they say it's not about the money. It's testing yourself mm-hmm. against the best in those leagues. Here's a great example. Why'd Archie Miller leave Dayton?
Yeah.
Well, because it's Indiana. And the reason why, Big Ten basketball versus A-10 basketball, you can make a very simple argument that this is a bigger, popular, better change.
Yes, I agree with all that.
I don't think there's anything wrong. It goes on a Dayton. They have a very proud tradition, very proud facilities.
I agree with all that. The cynic that asks about the money is legit also.
It is.
You get that kind of money flashed at you for a guaranteed contract for a few years. Mm-hmm. That absolutely makes a difference.
It is. But that's part and parcel going to that place.
What several Indiana fans may not all realize is just how much of a step up going to the SEC for baseball is and how much easier it is to run the program. Maybe not win. You still got to win against good programs, but to run the program and how much better you get compensated for.
I think that's why the Archie Miller analogy makes sense. There's nothing wrong with Dayton. It's a great school, very proud basketball history and tradition.
Yeah,
they've been to the Elite Eight before Indiana has mm-hmm. recently, but when you look at the grand scheme of things, it's still not the talked about Indiana basketball. Tom Crean said it best. Hey, it's Indiana.
Yeah.
And then whether like it or not.
Look, you're going to get paid 4 times as much. But you know, at the same time, you're going to have 4 times as much more.
But when Archie Miller came here, they didn't say, okay, you're going to make the least amount of money in the Big Ten either.
Sure.
Because you haven't been a Big Ten coach before. So
the stature of the program.
That all comes with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it, that's what makes part of the deal. So that's why I don't think someone looks at the money and says, oh, the money. He didn't take the worst job in the SEC for the money.
Right.
He took a premium SEC job mm-hmm. who lost in the College World Series Saturday night to be eliminated.
Yeah.
That's a big program.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do in Starkville besides wait for football season and baseball. So you get a little under the microscopy there.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen perhaps Tracy Smith deal with that at Arizona. If you follow along with that story, it's a big program. And when things aren't going well, mm-hmm. there are vociferous.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona State is not a football school.
It's a lot of pressure.
Arizona State is not a basketball school.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe a golf school.
Yeah.
But baseball, you mm-hmm. can go look at their proud history of what they've done.
Yep.
That is a hugely big deal. So Chris Lemonis takes a shot. And again, I don't think you can blame the guy for wanting to put his personal aspirations, trying himself against the best of the best, however you want to put that up there. Saw Louisville, did a nice job there, did a great job here. And all you can do is wish him and his family, which are very nice people, the best moving forward. But the next interesting question is, it seemed like when Tracy left, Lemonis was the slam dunk no doubter
mm-hmm.
if he wanted the job.
Yeah.
And now here we go again.
Yeah, who is it?
In a national search. And that's going to be interesting. Zach Osterman, our friend at the Indianapolis Star beat writer for most things Indiana University, put a column up this afternoon, had some potential hires in there. Guy from Wright State who's only been around a couple years, has 77 wins. The gentleman down in Dallas Baptist, who's been there for and he's made eight tournaments in 10 years. Dallas yeah. Baptist is again in a hotbed of baseball. The I think Scott Guggins from Xavier, who was at it's Cincinnati, who was at Xavier, who was with Tracy for years, was mentioned in that as well. So I don't know what any of that thinks. This all just popped out about 11 o'clock last night, mm-hmm. so 10:30 last night. So I don't think that there's any kind of list in permanent marker right now. And I wish I followed college baseball coaching circles, maybe like basketball or football. But this isn't a huge surprise. You were out. Terry and I were doing a program when Indiana was making their in the NCAA, and I didn't bring it up until it was brought up. But there was rumblings before the tournament started that Dan McDonald down at Louisville, who Lemonis worked for beforehand, mm-hmm. the rumor was that he was looking at the Mississippi State job. Gotcha. Because remember, their coach done first week of the season.
Yeah.
Early. So this is brewing and bubbling, and the domino was going to be if McConnell goes, then Lemonis is going to Louisville. Just that's just the hearsay that goes with those things. Why? It's an easy dot to connect. It's right up the street. The past stuff that goes with it. And then in Indiana's game against Texas on that Sunday night, trying to force the final game of the regional, mm-hmm. the winner take all match, in about the sixth or seventh inning, the color guy for ESPN told that exact same story. So it didn't work out that way. McConnell came out a day or two later and said, I'm staying at Louisville.
Yeah.
And then you think, okay, that's quiets.
Over. Right.
Because what McConnell's done at Louisville, mm-hmm. obviously with Lemonis being his assistant during those times, involved College World Series.
Right.
So you didn't, or at least I didn't, put the piece together where we'll leave
would jump right there, yeah.
Or Mississippi State would go to a guy who's only been in charge for 4 years,
yeah, right.
where maybe they had somebody else in the pocket or something else. That is not a knock on Lemonis. That mm-hmm. was just a simple – though that story kind of fizzled out once McConnell said it that way. So to hear this, you know, late – I don't know what's late anymore – last evening, last night, I think it did get some people by surprise because obviously Mississippi State being knocked out on – I think they were knocked out Friday night.
So. Yeah.
And then now it's Sunday night, and this mm-hmm. this is coming up. So they obviously had something in place, something raring to go, and I think that was the angle because you hadn't heard his name mentioned for any other job
right.
Besides the Louisville domino effect. So that carousel is stopped, and he's heading to Mississippi State.
Well, we know that the new stadium has done wonders for Indiana baseball and for the fans over there. So the program looks different than it did, you know, a decade ago.
A lot different.
Was this last 4 years Chris Lemonis or a program that's ready to break through even further? Did he do that great a job here and maybe we don't expect it to be what it was the last 4 years? Or do you think it's set up in a position where somebody can come in with some pedigree, maybe not, you know, top level pedigree, but a guy, like you said, up and comer, who's a talented guy, can come in and do similar type of stuff right away?
I think the similarity can happen right away because, as Lemonis has shown us, there are kids in Indiana that can play baseball. There mm-hmm. are kids in the Midwest that can play baseball. And if you put them together and bring them in, you always have to have a manager. I don't think one's interdependent of the other. The old days when everybody joked about, well, I'll still joke about it, Calipari is a better recruiter than a coach. Yeah, I'll stick by that. But Lemonis didn't have Sam Travis and Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, if that's the measuring stick, then no, it didn't go as well as we wanted. Why don't we have the next Schwarber? Well, gee whiz, those guys are both in the show.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the guys you're going to get at Mississippi State.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so
all
that's kind of the difference there. You're not having to have the coup, perhaps, to wrangle one of those guys away from the draft, mm-hmm. from a premium program. We see this in high school football. We see this in high school basketball. Mm-hmm. They don't care where you're from anymore.
Yeah.
Duke doesn't care that you didn't go to Durham High.
Right.
Oh, well, then
forget it.
Can't look at you. That's not how it works in any sport anymore. The good news is Indiana's a part of that. And the better news is Chris Lemonis, in his 4 years here, went to the tournament 3 times. And I believe, and I have to look this up, didn't he go as an at-large all 3 years?
Yes.
Well, that is the true testament of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
The naysayer will say, oh, well, you obviously didn't win anything. Well okay. But he didn't not get to the tournament. So you have to look at this in a balanced level.
Right.
You didn't win
years
league.
Without going to the tournament.
Exactly right. Now you go three out of four and you go back to Tracy. Well, no. Again, when you have Schwarber and Travis and Slagers and Donato, and you can start rattling off the guys' names, mm-hmm. you can win. Winning conference tournaments, they're not easy to do. We've said that a million times on the show. Winning postseason tournaments where you got to play 100 games in 5-6 days, it's not an easy thing to do. So what did he do? Okay, he didn't win those, but you were also playing in a regional 3 out of 4 years.
Yeah.
That's hard to deny. The other part is he managed 4 years, so all his seniors this year, 6 or 7 of them mm-hmm. who made it out, all came through with him the entire time. Most guys don't look or do other things if they've got a humongous junior class or sophomore class.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tracy Smith wasn't peeking around when he had Schwarber and Travis go in the World Series.
That was the next question.
As of 2013.
What does next year's squad look like?
It's really good because he did a really good job recruiting. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't think you can put one without the other and the other without the one.
Right.
Because the cabinet's not bare. There are kids. There are arms. There's a lot of stuff coming back. Sure, they did lose some seniors. They lost a couple guys at the draft as well. But I don't think they can be independent of each other. The cupboard is not bare. Does Indiana sell itself? Yes, it's a fantastic university. That's absolutely true. The facilities are very, very solid. Are they the best? No, because someone every year builds a new something.
Right.
So you're always gonna be trying to catch up to that. But what Chris Lemonis did, he didn't have to sit here and answer the questions after 3 years, when are you going back to the tournament?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to answer the questions of when are you going to be nationally ranked again. He didn't have to answer the questions, you're the favorite in the league. They were.
Yeah.
Those are positive things. And if you measure life in only win or loss and there's no gray area, well, your life's very simple, but I don't think that's fair to anybody. It's the big – how many teams in the Big Ten now? 12?
12.
11 play
14.
Baseball. 14.
14.
13 play baseball.
Yeah.
You only have one winner.
Yeah.
And just because you don't win and things don't bounce your way for a week in the Big Ten tournament, the proof of the season, how good it was 3 out of 4 at-large bids in the NCAA.
Yeah.
And that's something, because Indiana getting at-large bids in the NCAA hasn't been something that's been talked about ever. I don't believe that's the case.
So Chris Lemonis moving on from Indiana. He's taking the Mississippi State head coaching job down in the SEC, a big-time job down there. And the Hoosiers will be looking for their next baseball coach to carry forward what Tracy Smith and what Chris have done for Indiana. And they certainly have the facilities to help them with that.
And you know every AD's got a little pad of paper in
Absolutely.
Their drawer that says, just in case, in break glass, just in case.
Well, we hope he has one on baseball.
That's right.
Everybody here has one on basketball. But
That's
baseball, well, I hope so. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We'll talk Pacers when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Reminder, stay tuned here. We've got Reds baseball, 7:30.
Hot Reds.
Seven straight they've won.
Red
and they go
hots.
Up against Atlanta in Atlanta.
First place. Big week for the Reds. First place Atlanta, followed by first place Milwaukee. The good news, the Great American Ballpark will host the final four of the week. Wednesday's a day game, so we'll miss that one, but we'll have Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for you right here on the airwaves.
They suddenly have the Cubbies number also.
That was not the case for a long stretch of games. And they're going to go back to Chicago after the 4th of July. So the next 10 they have with the Cubs are all in Wrigley. So hopefully they got a piece when they could. And at least they are interesting. That's the good news.
812-333-2665 is a phone number. Let's bring in Al.
Big Al, good to hear from you.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, you?
I just kind of think that on our IU baseball program, we want a coach that's going to stick around, and we want one that's not going to use it as a stepping stone to get somewhere else. And Tracy Smith's assistant would be an ideal man to bring in here because he's been here before. The kids will know him. And he got along with all the high schools in the state.
You talk about Scotty Guggins?
I think it has to be somebody. Yeah.
Who's at Cincinnati right now?
I was thinking of what Joe said this morning about the young man that he liked, Tracy's assistant.
Yes, Scott Guggins. He's at Cincinnati right now, right?
I would be opposed to give the job back to Tracy if he wanted it.
Well, Tracy's employed right now, Big Al. So
yeah,
the last Google I did on that was May 30th. That was what, less than a month ago. He was given the what do they call that by the athletic director?
Vote of confidence.
Vote of confidence, and they will be moving on with Coach Tracy Smith next season. So he's employed right now, but you never know. Once this carousel gets moving, it is interesting. But the other question you'd have to ask, and I don't have the answer for it, would be, is coming back an option? Is that something that mm-hmm. Tracy wants to, maybe not Indiana per se, but
right.
You've got to have two parties that want to tango there. Googans is interesting because, as you mentioned, Al, he was Tracy's assistant, I believe, over at Miami of Ohio for a long time as well. He was a Xavier head coach for over 10 years, so he has regional ties. He knows the area. He obviously knows recruiting and what goes on with all of that. So once the names start popping out, we'll start passing them along to you.
Well, the other thing of that is, too, I think if we got a coach that's familiar with the state of Indiana, per se.
Can't hurt.
It don't hurt you at all because all the high schools around here, we got as good a talent as any place else in the country, I think.
There's a lot of kids that Chris Lemonis has done a good job of wrangling this direction. If I know you take the newspaper every day, and if you remember during the spring, about every other day, IU commit or IU recruit pitched against somebody in the region here. So there seems to be some talent around it. And that'll be an interesting question for Fred Glass, and we know that the guys are going to ask him about it. Do you mind being a quote-unquote stepping stone program? I don't know if there's anything wrong with that if you're continuing to win.
Right.
Because usually guys that leave are leaving because of success, not because of other issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a good for the goose, good for the gander. And if you want to take a chance on a younger guy and not spend $600,000-$700,000, I don't even know what the budget is for
well, that's the difference. Is you're not going to have the budget of some of those southern
to
schools.
To go with those schools. So you might have to take a chance on a young mm-hmm. up-and-coming kind of guy like that. I mean, we haven't really seen it in football, but the argument that you could probably make is if Kevin Wilson, based on his background...
If Kevin Wilson was 9-3 in his last 2 years, you know...
Is he staying for
Oklahoma
20
might have asked him to be there for Bob Stoops.
That could be absolutely possible. So that's the interesting, the humanity part of it. I don't know, Al, the other angle to this that you made me think about is, do you want a guy that thinks he's going to be here for 20 years, then kind of puts his feet up after 5 or 6 and says, I got this made, maybe doesn't hit that recruiting trail hard? I mean, you're never going to give a guy a lifetime contract.
Well, I think with Indiana right now, and
good
Al,
job,
thanks
Al.
For the phone
yeah,
call.
I was
we
always paying
we
attention.
Appreciate it. What you have to
we'll
look at is
football.
You've set up the program to be a very good program.
Program. Now, that's the key word there.
Right. Right. So a lot of people are going to want to come into it. Now, are they going to come from the absolute premier jobs? Again, I'll use the football analogy. Nobody from Texas or Alabama or Michigan is coming to Indiana as the head football coach. Nobody from Texas and
you're saying as a former head
coach. And Florida State and Florida are coming to Indiana for baseball. But I would say that the baseball program is much better set up right this minute than the football program, just in general, just national stature. It's not that the Indiana football program is bad anymore or a bad job anymore.
They haven't been consistently ranked for 7 years.
But I think Indiana has leapfrogged them in baseball. I think they're set up better. They got great facilities. They certainly got the stature here recently. They've earned it and gotten into the World Series. A lot of people are going to be looking at this job as a possible job. Will they look at it as a stepping stone? Yeah, potentially, because there is an elite level and Indiana isn't quite there. But now, it is a good enough job where you don't go embarrass yourself. I use this analogy a lot. When Bill Mallory took the Indiana football job, this was told to be the graveyard of football coaches,
sure.
And he took it anyways. So it was a dead-end job that nobody wanted.
That's not the case
with Indiana baseball right now. It's not the case with Indiana football anymore either, but it's not the definitely not the case with Indiana baseball.
The
it's a good
only way you make that job a 20-year job is to do what? Win big,
pay
that's
well.
Simple.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, that comes with it.
Yeah.
If you're at the College World Series every other year, twice in 5 years, whatever Fred Glass or the next administration decides is premium,
mm-hmm.
that guy could possibly stay mm-hmm. because obviously what's he going to leave for? If the money is the driving factor and you're getting to places unseen before in program history, that's what's going to make that job a 6, 8, 10-year run.
Right.
And the Holy Grail, that would be another interesting question to hear the expectation. Is the expectation too simply compete annually for a Big Ten title? Has to be.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. But where in the over the hump of the regional what do they call it? Super regional.
Mm-hmm.
Hosting it, getting to it. Are we required to get to Omaha?
Right.
I think that's important, because if you set an expectation that's maybe a little tough to get.
Too high.
But what it does.
If you go out there and beat your chest and say you're the premier program in the Big Ten and you want somebody who's going to be here for 20 years, that may turn some people off, because it's looking a little past your stature right this minute. Doesn't mean you can't get there. But as you noted earlier, we haven't won the Big Ten in a while. And again, none of this, I'm not even being critical about it. I'm just stating facts right now. They have gotten to the World Series, which is clearly as big of, if not a bigger deal, than winning the conference when it comes to Big Ten baseball,
but
because of the tradition, the lack thereof of Big Ten baseball.
But that's what you're going to be measured against. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to find somebody that, A, wants to take that challenge and push it to that level. And they're going to have to do it on the up. They're going to have to do it academically. Yeah. They're going to have to do it. It's not a get rich quick. You don't need to do that. And the foundation is built.
And we talked about, there are still some things right now that are challenges about Indiana baseball. Scheduling is a challenge. It just being noticed has gotten better, but you still have the challenge of playing some folks to make sure that you get noticed.
And that
so there are some challenges, but it's in much better shape.
For me, that always points you to the young up-and-comer who's not afraid to get
Chris Lemonis was never a head coach.
Work long hours.
Yeah.
Get after it. Recruit.
Chris Lemonis had 8 years under the guy at Louisville. So, I mean, he had
Oregon State.
Yeah, I mean.
That comes with it.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Again, reminder, we're going to have Reds baseball coming up at 7:30. They're on the road. They're down in Atlanta. They've won seven straight. They go up against the first-place Atlanta Braves tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 both nights. And then later in the week, Milwaukee, 7 o'clock all three nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Also in first place, but in a different division.
The Reds division.
That's how that works.
That's how you're chasing.
Looking at late last week, we had the NBA draft, and the Pacers with the 23rd pick overall. And they get Aaron Holiday, a point guard out of UCLA. Looks similar to Darren Collison in a lot of ways, maybe a little thicker and a little stronger. The veritable wingspan explanation is 6'8 wingspan for a 6'1 guy. Scored 20 points last year in his third year at UCLA, almost six assists a game. Started every game his freshman and junior season. His sophomore season was that of Lonzo Ball.
Oh.
So he came off the bench for all of those. But
as required by Ball law.
Exactly, by BBB and whatever the hell all that is.
We try so hard not to mention that family on this program.
And that'll be the last for a while.
It's contextual.
Yep.
That's why, because I was thinking to myself, now why didn't he play it? That's why.
But what's interesting about that is that he starts every game as a freshman. They bring in a top five recruit, and he goes to the bench. And it's not like UCLA was great because of it, but he comes back the next year and scores 20 points and six assists a game and leads his team back to the tournament. Now, UCLA maybe hasn't had some of the success you'd think they should, given all the talent they've had the last several years. But Aaron Holiday did a great job in his junior season in particular. He's got the bloodlines, where both of his brothers are in the Big Ten, or in the Big Ten, they're in the NBA right now, and are both in double figures. Drew Holiday is a star. So how does Aaron Holiday fit in for the Pacers? Well, they're going to need a backup point guard, maybe a starting point guard before too long. Is Aaron Holiday that guy? He certainly seems like a guy that can put it in the basket, which we've talked about needs to happen.
Well, there's the million-dollar question is, why is he the last guy in the green room? If he's so highly thought of by everybody and the Pacers are elated to get him at 23, that means there's a handful, more than a handful, of teams who decided that...
In a different direction.
Right. And when the Pacers tell you, wow, we were surprised that he was there, but it made it a no-brainer pick. Okay, great. Everybody evaluates talent differently. I don't doubt that at all. Does the 6'1 bother you a little bit? I'm not sure.
Did it bother you with Darren Collison?
Yeah, a little bit.
So there
you see him get knocked around on defense a little bit. You always say the right things. No one's ever going to come out and say, this draft went exactly backwards.
Yeah.
This flipped in our face.
We didn't want this guy.
But when you look at who the Pacers have drafted in two drafts with Kevin Pritchard, It's three of the four have been UCLA guys.
Uh-huh.
So he likes the West Coast player. He likes the system, Alford system. It gets up and down the court, score a lot of points. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And Holiday can come out till he's blue in the face and tell us how great he's going to defend in the league. But at the end of the day, he's 6'1", 100 and however many pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have to defend in this league? Yes. Do you have to be all-league defensive team? No, you don't. But you have to be capable. And the Pacers, with their current situation, Victor Oladipo in the backcourt, Darren Collison in the backcourt, Corey Joseph in the backcourt, and I guess what, you throw Joe Young in there as your other player on the roster? Lance Stevenson was released today, folks. If you're a big Lance fan,
yeah.
Sorry, his option for $4.5 million wasn't picked up. We'll get into that in a minute. But what that tells you is...
There's an option on Joe Young, but I mean the guy never plays.
He never plays, and there are your issues. So in a backcourt, is the size detrimental? Are his long arms helpful because he can play defense? Are the Pacers looking to become more defensive than offensive?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting question. But what you can't tell, or you can hardly tell, is what the direction of this is moving forward. Thad Young is going to opt out by all accounts and measures. He will be a free agent. Lance Stevenson has not been picked up. So there are two
mm-hmm.
rotational players. Thad was a starter.
Yeah, big ones.
That Aaron Holiday is not going to replace.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, the reason you draft Holiday is because after next year, Collison walks
right.
and Joseph walks.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine and good. Gets their salaries off the books, and you have Holiday and a rookie contract.
Right.
So you have a second-year player with Oladipo. You have a fourth-year player in Sabonis and Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And basically everybody else is up for grabs.
Whatever.
So if the Pacers are using the 23rd pick to do what? From all accounts and purposes, they were looking for somebody in the draft that could help them to a degree this year, but nothing that's going to be blowing anybody away. If they can get major minutes out of the 23rd pick, they'll be happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're drafting for a position down the road, that makes sense. But each year you don't – and this ties in with Lance. We'll get into this. Each year that Victor Oladipo gets 1 year closer to being an expired contract means what?
It's closer to
walking.
Hurry
up.
Yeah.
I don't know if the 23rd pick ever helps you. And before you call me and tell me all the great 23rd picks over the years, it's not about that.
Right.
Now go look at all the 6-1 23rd picks that help you. If this is a down-the-road pick, that's fine. Somebody tell me what T.J. Leaf's going to do now that Thad Young's gone. T.J. Leaf should step in and play, right? He was the 18th pick last year.
He should at least get some minutes,
he should
right?
get in there and have a chance to do it. So if the Pacers are hoping this crescendos all together in year three or four from now, two or three from now, that's interesting. But the more interesting part about it is Young on his own accord is going. Stevenson was not brought back.
Right.
Known as a fan favorite. Fans will tell you how great he guards LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Fans will tell you the – passion, the
his option was only
hustle.
$4.5 million a year.
That's the point.
It's not a lot.
That's chump change. Who are you going to get for $4.5 million?
No.
Nobody. All that stuff. The thing with Lance Stevenson was the problem is the consistency level wasn't there. And you don't play playoff basketball 82 nights during the regular season. You have to get to the playoffs to play playoff basketball. I get that. But these pieces point to what? Cutting salary,
mm-hmm.
getting backcourt help. Points to free agency. It has to.
Yeah.
They didn't trade the pick. They didn't trade picks.
Right.
They didn't move contracts. And now you sit here and you say, well, is there going to be another trade for Victor Oladipo and DeMontis Sabonis? Well, no, of course not. You don't have an asset like Paul George to bring those players in.
Right.
So you can't think that. So I'm scratching my head wondering what the plan of attack is moving forward. If pick 23 does not help you immediately or not sooner, why do you stay in pick 23? I made that argument last week before they even drafted.
Right.
You're going to tell me it's a great pick regardless if you're the Pacers because you can't come out and say, well, we had to take him. He's the best player available on our board. No, he's fitting a need. He's going to be he's going to learn the position and do all that. Okay. There's not many teams in the East that are lining up to be in the throne there.
Mm-hmm.
Philly's young. Celtics have a ton of pieces.
Very young, yep.
LeBron James is no telling where he's going or what he's doing. So if you're the Pacers, can you help me debunk this riddle?
Well,
he's a nice player. You want to talk about? Yeah, he's Pac-10 player of the year. He averaged 20 points a game. You have to play to get drafted, folks.
Yeah.
The numbers shouldn't – you should. Wow, he's a nice – yeah, he's a first-round pick.
Here's what they're. Here's what comes off the books after next year. Now you mentioned Thaddeus Young. If they don't pick up the, if he doesn't pick up the option, who knows?
He's on a free agent list. I'm looking at right now.
He could come back, presumably.
Could.
But
he could re-sign for a longer.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But right now, you after next year, Bogdanovich comes off the books. Collison comes off the books. Corey Joseph comes off the books. Alex Poitras is way down there.
Don't worry about the guys making $800,000.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's not worth it.
Leafs Al Jefferson, Lance Stephenson both had team options. I haven't heard about Al Jefferson, but I can't imagine they're keeping Al around at $10
million. You got to have 15 guys. You got to have X amount of salary.
I'd rather to have that $10 million and
sure.
give it to Alex Poitras.
But you got to have somebody in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Well,
that's the other thing. Yeah. Young's a great clubhouse guy. Jefferson's a great clubhouse. Well, that's what they tell you. That's like, they don't let me in the clubhouse. That's what you hear. So that's why
they say they have a lot of good clubhouse guys, and that's one of the reasons they liked Aaron Holiday. Was that he
jump right in?
He showed that he was willing to subjugate himself for a year because of a star that they brought into UCLA. Still
but contributed, but him doing that 1 year in the NBA ipso facto does not make him a frontline starter and contributor at this level.
Not.
And that's what makes you itch a little bit. If he was so highly thought of before the draft, why is he the last guy in there?
Yeah.
And that's a fair question.
You know, now, 6'1", I'm sure, has something
to do. A lot to do.
I'm sure it does.
So you're going to replace 6'1 with 6'1"? Okay, I can buy that. The key is, what are you going to do in free agency? And this is the million-dollar question, because the Pacers extensively do not get into this end of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull up the Pacers free agents, and you'll scratch your head and be like, oh, yeah, I forgot that guy was a free agent.
Right.
Or, oh, that was a one-year deal. Or what? Bogdanovich, free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Nice player.
Yeah.
Impactful. One game in the 30s, five other games with 25
yeah,
points.
Yeah, I mean, he's a nice player.
Nice player.
Started for you all year long.
Are you going to get
Darren Collison?
Three guys in free agency? Four guys? Yeah, you're going to have to, because you have to fill this roster out.
Well, you have to now. Here's
and
who
you
the,
have to surround Victor with players.
Here's who's on long-term right now.
Long-term
Victor
is
Victor Oladipo.
How many
Sabonis
more years?
Sabonis has some options after next year. We do. The Pacers do. Miles Turner will have a final option for after next year.
That's his end of his rookie deal.
Monte Ellis is still being paid for the next
That's
4 years. TJ Leaf. And so now you add Aaron Holiday to that equation.
At rookie money in that slot, which is nothing.
At rookie money, exactly.
TJ Leaf's making no money, and he was picked five picks before Holiday.
So you've got Sabonis, Turner, Leaf, and Holiday all as first-round draft picks that are going to be making next to nothing.
That's right.
Next to Victor Oladipo. You got Bogdanovich, Collison, Corey Joseph filling out the roster at the moment. And you can do whatever you want at that point in time. Everything else is wide open.
You can.
For now and into the future.
It is. Now the issue will be convincing players to
come
play. You're going to have to get a couple of those veteran guys to give you veteran minutes.
Yeah.
Now, you can't throw the youngest team in the playoffs in there every year and expect to get results.
Right now for 2019, so it's not next year, but it's a year after, I'm showing that they have committed $23 million.
Okay, so they're going to have $180 million to spend or whatever it is.
A ton
of money
for after that.
Right.
Now, what does that translate into is the
That's
whole question.
That's the million-dollar question.
And you have to start it this year because you still have, they're talking about $30 million under the luxury tax minimum at this point in time.
So
they got to spend it.
That's two 15s.
Fill in the roster. You might have to fill in Thaddeus Young's spot.
Three 10s.
Yeah.
We'll just show you what you get.
Need some help for Victor Oladipo in the backcourt.
And that's $30 million this year,
mm-hmm.
right? Not a $30 million contract.
Correct.
So if you sign a guy to a four-year, $80 million deal,
mm-hmm.
you got $10 million left over.
Presumably.
Okay.
That was before they let go of Lance, and I don't know if
Lance
Al's figured into that either.
$4.5 million.
Yeah.
So that's, again,
it
all
adds
number.
In. Yeah, it all adds
but
in.
But the next angle is going to be, now who do you go out and get?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go after it this year, next year? I think the answer has to be both.
You need it something
because
next year, and you've got the availability.
I don't know Victor Oladipo, and I'm not going to pretend to read his mind, but why'd Paul George leave?
Yeah, he didn't see the commitment, according to him.
Okay.
He might want to be somewhere else, but that's
new,
a legitimate point. Is
new ownership, new leadership.
Anybody who's being asked to be the star of the team sees that you're cutting salary and not bringing folks in. It's really obvious that you're not helping him out. So they've got to do something.
And that's going to be the most interesting part of the rest of the summer. Are they done trading? I don't know. Probably not. Are they done free agenting? Obviously not. This roster has so many holes in it. Now, if you had to throw it out tomorrow and play Collison, Oladipo, Bogdanovich, Turner, and Sabonis, you'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
till somebody gets hurt, till somebody gets in foul trouble, yeah, and I mean, everything
that's,
else.
That's a fine starting five.
Then you follow, then you fill in with Leaf and Poythress and these other guys. And mm-hmm. Mighty Joe Young is on the bench if they pick his option.
Yeah.
So don't look at rookie camps. Don't do that. Don't look at free agent camps in the sense that the undrafted guys come in and all work out. Very mm-hmm. rarely do they help.
Right.
What helps is making good draft picks and making moves. And obviously, I don't think Kevin Pritchard is ecstatic with where Leaf is at right now, having a full season under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he excited that he can possibly develop into something? Absolutely. But that pick didn't come along
right.
and give you the minutes you needed quickly. You had enough injury problems where he should have got time to impress, and he perhaps didn't at the level they wanted. The other thing is you have kind of a glut of three players that same position.
Mm-hmm.
Turner, Sabonis, and Leaf all kind of hang around the perimeter a little bit.
Yeah.
Not really, which I guess
Bogdanovich also.
That's the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Pacers, their next steps are going to be interesting. And remember, last year on draft day, they took two UCLA kids, 18 and 43 or whatever it was, first round, second round. Mm-hmm. And then the Paul George stuff, you just waited.
Right.
You didn't even care about Leaf. You didn't even remember they drafted Leaf. You
right.
didn't remember they drafted
well, they never
Ike.
Played.
Ike's last name escapes me.
Anik Bogu?
He's the youngest kid in the draft last year. 18 years old in some days.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that stashed away. You have to have guys that can play night in and night out. Is Darren Collison going to shoot 48% from three next year? Are the Pacers going to avoid every injury crisis next year? There's no crazy Lance to give them the big home court advantage next year.
TJ Leaf played in 53 games last year.
That's the point.
Averaged just short of 9 minutes a game.
That's the other point. So the games he were playing.
Did shoot 43% from threes.
How many chances did
well,
he
Well, probably
have?
Not many.
Yeah, not many. So the Pacers have holes, and if the reason you're getting rid of Lance, fan favorite, defensive menace, momentum changer, is to save you $4.5 million.
Yeah, there's more to that.
It's always more to that.
And I can guarantee that.
They're not going to bring anybody in for $4.5 million. You watch that.
And you know what? That's okay. I mean, Lance has
so
shown himself to be
Look,
difficult
I've
at
got
times.
I've got his home and road splits here.
Yeah.
You don't want to see him.
Yeah.
He's 100% better at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The Pacers aren't good enough to have a luxury player that only plays in big games,
right.
in big situations.
Lance can be difficult.
He can be. They gave him a chance, and they've made their decision and moved on. So Pacer fans will be angry. That's fine. Find your new Lance. Victor Oladipo plays
right.
just as hard as Lance does and doesn't have to bring the sideshow with him.
Yeah, that's right.
So you've got that already, folks. It's what you're going to surround Oladipo with. The NBA is what kind of league? It's a scoring league.
Yep.
You must have guys who can score the basketball at multiple positions. If not, Victor is going to be asked to do a ton of things.
How much longer we wait on Miles Turner?
Oh, easy. His contract's so cheap, you can't do anything.
Well, we talked about off the air a little bit. Can you move him?
He'll be if this thing all falls apart at the trade deadline,
maybe.
You've got Collison's expiring.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've got Joseph's expiring. You've got Bogdanovich expiring. You can blow mm-hmm. this whole thing up. And that's not the contenders. People say, well, what contender wants these guys?
Yeah.
No. There are other teams that are moving salary for two or three more years down the road. They'll get rid of players that maybe you have a chance with. That's why the NBA soap opera is more interesting sometimes than the actual regular season.
Yeah, no question. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Stay tuned. 7:30, Atlanta. And the Reds, that's down in Atlanta, first place Atlanta, and the Reds, seven straight they have won, so we'll try to get to eight tonight. We'll join you again on Wednesday night, so tune in then. You've been in the zone.